Coming to you straight from the most reliably biased source on the Matrix, this is the Anarchy and Podcasting Network, and I am Opti. Welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. Today I am bringing you some vintage audio, along with an introduction to one of my go-to runners. I've had runner crews on and off, some have been better than others, but none have had the staying power that this one's had. Except Mr. Pink, but he's different. Anyway, here's the story. About 10 years ago, I was levitating myself up the side of a church spire in Sheerna-Nogue, while a friendly raven spirit was making me invisible. The fact that the Sheer leadership had been so closed off and secretive towards the rest of the world was something that had always stuck in my craw, and eventually I just couldn't wait any longer. I wanted to know more about the traditional families of the Sheer leadership known as the Donon, and I wanted to know what secrets they were hiding. So I sent a student of mine named Jackdaw to do some recon, and he never came back. So now I needed to get to him. My ritual said that he was in St. John's Cathedral in Limerick, so I figured I'd go in through the spire, which was about 100 meters up. And so I get about two-thirds of the way up, and then my levitate spell starts to sputter, and my invisibility spell's wearing off too. So I grabbed onto the side of the castle just as the last push of my levitate spell gave up the ghost. Now I was visible and clinging by my fingers to the stone edifice hundreds of feet off the ground, just as some guy comes flying out the window above me. What follows is actual recording of what happened. This is what I hear looking up at the elf in the leather jacket with rainbows on it, leaning out the window to taunt me.
You're not the gen I just tossed out the window. I was wondering where that yelp came from. Either the Don's gone stupid or they're not willing to shell out the new yen to hire a hitman. Oi, Spider-Man! You want a chance to explain yourself or would you rather me just kill you?
I'm curious. If you're planning on killing me anyway, why give me the option?
Well, I am kind of bored, and some conversation wouldn't be the worst thing in the world right now. And, you don't look like much danger without magic, so I figured, why not?
Fair enough! But I'm afraid I won't be much of a cognitive corresponding conversationalist while I'm dangling so far up by my frigid, frightful fingernail! Since I'm not a threat, why don't you toss me down your hair or something for me to climb up?
Oh, you're funny. Funny! Aerial alliteration. Well, I could help you up. But I'm betting you're probably thinking of some intricate plan on how you can escape with your life, and you're stalling. You might even think you can geek me once you're up here, but that won't work. For starters, I'm not foolish. Second, I don't think you're Sicilian. And thirdly, I've been drekking up the astral around this place for a few hours now. You couldn't even light a fart with your magic up here.
I'll admit, I was curious about that.
Well, thank you for answering my question. You use magic? Advantage Rainbow Smite. Well, I've got some monofilament wire on me. Ooh, and that expression tells me you don't have gloves. All right, hold tight. I'll find something we can use as a rope and toss it down. You think you can manage?
As long as you can manage not to kill me until we finish our conversation.
I think you can manage that.
Thanks.
Alright, no problem. Hang on, let me pull up my list. So which of the Donon bastards sent you to kill me?
I feel like that is not the first time that you have started a conversation that way.
Sound too dramatic? Well, I was around when the Sheer was still Ireland. You may have seen this pretty face on a poster or two if you've been there. Hell, I worked security for a quote-quote re-education camp for the Sheer Republican Corps. Yeah, back then I swallowed all that propaganda dreck that they fed us. You know that story. You know, we got what we wanted. Ireland kicked out the Catholics and became Sheerna-Nogue. I thought I was fighting for something good. Something we could be proud of. Wasn't until 61 that the bastards, freaking bastards, they had a very narrow view of what the citizens of Sheerna-Nogue should be. They didn't care about the people or the land. They cared about power. And after an incident with some brown-nosing Donon toadies, I ended up making a deal with the Knights of the Red Branch and arranged for my own extraction. Arrived in Seattle a week later with a new ID, a druckload of cyberware, and a very limited skill set.
Was your hair part of the cyber they installed? It's changed 3 different colors since we've been talking.
No. The hair and a few other tips and tricks came when I surged back in 61. I actually tried to keep it pretty secret. Then some bright boy sold me out to the higher-ups. Figures. The Shire authorities considered me a wild card and tried to have me geeked. Didn't take. Didn't stop them from wasting their money trying on it, though.
And you've been on the run since?
That sounds about right.
So why on earth are you here?
Here specifically? This look at... little vengeance and a little murder. Bigger scheme of things? A lot of vengeance and getting my damn country back. And one sweet day, I'm going to repay them for their perverted sense of justice. I'll be right there when their empire crumbles around them, and I will revel in it when they realize it was me. I will go up to those Dunham bastards and say, "Hoi, my name is Jules Watts. You stole my country. Prepare to die."
And you've done nothing since but prepare for that day?
That's more of a background pursuit most days. They're just well too well protected. I try and break in and do some covert surveillance and assassination from time to time, but it's not much. It's been years now, I'm starting to lose confidence. I work as a shadow runner to pay the bills. There's not a lot of new yin and anarchy these days.
Well, I certainly hope that you bring down the government someday.
You ready?
I can't complain, even if I wasn't. Raven knows you've given me more time than most would have.
You a shaman or something?
Something. Thanks for the story.
Well, thanks for listening. You seem like a decent fellow. I hate to kill you.
You seem like a decent lass. I hate to die.
Begin.
Oh, you can put the spurs away. You're not going to kill me.
Oh, and why not?
3 reasons. Number 1, because I'm here for the same reason you are. Number 2, I can help bankroll your anarchy. And 3, I bet you've never met anyone else in Shir Nanog who knows the old Princess Bride trade as well as I do.
Inconceivable.
I knew it! Advantage Opti. But people call me Opti, by the way. Well, a few weeks ago, I sent my operative Jackdaw into the Shir to gather intel on the Sealy. He never came back. But I've traced him here. So what I'm about to do is a rescue op, and I could definitely use someone to watch my back. Are you up for it?
Absolutely. Hey, Opti.
What?
I hope we win.
And that's how I met Jules Watts. Though in the shadows, she goes by the handle Rainbow Smite. She's the toughest elven lass I know. Paradoxically, she is also the sweetest. Unless you cross her. Don't cross her. She's older than she looks, and she was actually around in Ireland before it became the Shire. She went all hoorah on behalf of the Dunan families and helped them pull the coup, but ended up disillusioned after they tried to have her geeked when she surged. Now, if I'm spending time with Jules, that means I must feel pretty safe, because being around her causes my mojo to go all haywire. Some kind of surge ability causes her to haze the astral space around herself, screwing things up for spellcasters and dual-natured folks. She's also terribly difficult to target with magic, although I confess to not having tried, so who knows. I guess what I'm saying is, don't take your mages up against Jules. You'll lose. One interesting side effect to those abilities is she's uniquely qualified to interact and train awakened critters. Their abilities tend to have less effect on her and around her, so she can approach them and gain their trust with minimal risk. She even has a well-trained hellhound that she keeps around, which she named Woofles. Nice dog. Really. She also has a bundle of cyberware. She's kind of shy about what she does and doesn't have, so I wasn't about to push, but she's hard for me to sense, too. She can keep some of her secrets. I do know that she has forearm snap blades, cyber spurs, some sort of muscle enhancement, skin that actually shocks people, and some ability to heal herself that ain't normal, which is good because healing magic doesn't really work on her. She spends most of her time running the shadows, but she does have a few hobbies on the side. She volunteers working at an underground paracritter vet, and although she's paid well to do it, she enjoys spending time with my kids. She's the only Shadowrunner that I trust to keep him safe when I'm not around. Well, besides Mr. Pink, but he's not really that good for kids. And to be fair, there are times when Rainbow might not be the best role model for kids. She does wet work mostly, and there are times when I've seen her lose her cool, and it's like something just flips in her head, and she turns into some sort of berserk killing machine. It ain't pretty. She's mean. I saw her in a fight once. She had a guy and was fraggin' smacking his head into the curb, like his mouth just fraggin' smash. His teeth came out and just fraggin' wah, wah, wah. Fraggin' blood came out of his fraggin' mouth. It was nasty, chummers. Nice girl, though. Girl's cool. I mean, she is really nice. I mean, and in fact, most of the people around her find her general cheerfulness and kindness a bit off-putting. They think she's trying to put on some kind of a show or something, but it's totally chip truth. She's the real deal. One of the things that Jules and I have in common is a general like of any kind of 20th century pop culture. In fact, one of the reasons that I like to send the kids over to Jules is that she can infect them with all the 2D vids, comics, and music that my old man passed to me when I was a kid. That way, when I make a reference to something old, DeForest doesn't look at me like I'm old. I'm not old, little crows. Just seasoned. One of the old cartoons Jules liked is something called Rainbow Bright, which is where she got the name from. This bubbly, technicolored dame used to go around throwing brightness and rainbows at people while riding on a unicorn. And Jules does the same thing, except instead of brightness, she throws around death. Like you do. Further to the point, you'll know that you're dealing with her because she has a leather jacket with that Rainbow Bright girl on it. Except, instead of a rainbow, she's got a sledgehammer in her hand. It's a nice reminder not to upset her apple cart. Even though she's an elf, Jules goes out of her way to reject that persona. She hates all the traditional elven ideas of magic, close to nature, proper, uptight, snooty, and all that. She prefers more rough-and-tumble lifestyle, which lands her in the company of more orcs and trolls than anything else. She's even developed a taste for Hurlg, which I've never been able to stomach. Of course, she has her own crew that she runs with, consisting mostly of a zippy toe tag and orc hacker street doc, a big troll bruiser named Dirtnap, who, incidentally, is the only person I've ever met to survive a cranial bomb, and a real charmer of an orc named Tag, and this cold-as-ice infiltrator named Butterfly. She and I see pretty eye-to-eye when it comes to authority, which is why I keep coming back to hiring Rainbow when I need some muscle. I don't like killing people, crows. I really don't. But I'll sure as dreck send Jules after a fragger if they're threatening me or mine. And now she's gotten to the point where she's kind of protective over the kids, so it kind of automatically puts her in a bad mood when they get threatened. So I'd think twice before you threaten the wee ones again. You know who you are. She won't take on kids or animals, but if you need someone oft, call Jules. And as a free piece of information, if you refer to her accent, call it Irish, and leave all mention of Chernanog out of it. You'll have a better experience that way. Speaking of good experiences, this one has just helped you waste an entirely good slot of time listening to the Anarchy and Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unanonium 88. In closing, I want to give a hearty hello to our newest Patreon supporters, which receive monthly offerings of Neo-Anarchist Street gear. Freshly included in this illustrious list of capable crowfunders is Bradley Bigger, Moritz Schubert, and Mike Elkins. Thank you all. Everything that you need to set up and maintain an anarchist cell in your area, which, at various levels, now includes stickers, patches, dice, bags, fake IDs of all sorts, contact sheets, and USB cred sticks, will be delivered to your safe house as we march bravely on. Another thing is the Awesome Dice Project by Dexter's Dice is almost at its initial funding goal. Looks like Mr. Pink might be getting some dice, but there are some stretch goals to be hit, so make sure you go to the Matrix and check out the Awesome Dice Project on Kickstarter. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I have been your host, the Righteous Rajah of Restoration, the Right Reverend of Raven, requiring radical restoration, rejecting revolting rich rogues, writer of the Redemptive Revolution, repairing, rejuvenating, and renovating the revolver of runner reputation, rarely requiring relief, Opti. Enjoy your freedom. Or, at least don't kill people who can help you get it back.